You are listening to the Horse Radio Network, part of the equine network family.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
You are listening to the number one horse podcast in the world. Here is your entertaining look at the horse world and the people in it.
Well, good Wednesday morning. I am Glenda Geek in Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings in Norman, Oklahoma. You're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for Wednesday, September 24th, episode 3782. Good morning, horse people.
Well, today we're going to learn about the Appalachian Trail Trainer Face-Off with competitor Chloe Capaldi and the breeds of the alphabet. We haven't forgotten about it. We're up to N, and we're doing the Dakota horse today. Plus, do we have weird news?
It's never ending.
Okay. And we'll be doing a post show as well. Well, I wanted to mention, we'll be mentioning it over the next couple of episodes because it's important to us and to you guys. September 30th is International Podcast Day. That's next Tuesday. Jamie and I were there for year one of International Podcast Day. I don't know if you remember, but in year one of this, we were still live. Probably 10 years ago. And we had the organizers on. And when this was just a tiny little event that somebody made up and decided that we needed to do an International Podcast Day. And we had the organizers on when we were live doing the show. And it's gotten to be a big deal now. And now they won't come on with us because they got bigger shows to go on. But
No. Joe Rogan's calling.
I was just kidding. I did not ask them to come on. But what it is an opportunity to highlight podcasting. And we're going to ask you guys a favor for International Podcast Day this year. One is we're going to ask you to post a review. If you haven't reviewed our show on your podcast player, whether it's Apple or Spotify or whatever it is, most of them have a way to do a review. And it's usually a 5-star thing, and then you can make comments. But if you haven't done a review for the show for Horses in the Morning, I'd kindly ask you to take 2 minutes today, figure that out, and post a review. It really does help us. And it's something that's free. It's easy to do. Anybody can do it, and we would certainly appreciate that.
We don't bug you guys at all about anything for this kind of stuff. And every other podcast or YouTube video, like and subscribe.
Yes, they do it every episode.
We don't do that to you guys. So just once a year, we're going to be like, hey, like and subscribe. Right. Review.
I'm going to say, too, if you listen on Spotify, especially, because we like have no reviews over there. And that's partly because apparently horse people don't use Spotify because our Spotify numbers compared to other podcasts and other niches are really tiny. I mean, like 4% of our total downloads are Spotify. So if you're a Spotify user, please do a review over there. That'll help us out. We appreciate that. The other thing is tell all your friends at the barn about us. Post on social media on Monday. We will post graphics for you to use and share on the Horses in the Morning and the Auditor Facebook pages. So we'll post those on Monday so you can share next week with all of your social media friends. We would appreciate that. It just gets the word out and helps grow the show. And we know that you guys listen every day, and that's a commitment. And we appreciate all the help you've given us over the years. And hopefully we'll give us for International Podcast Day. Let's do some Daily Whinnies. Well, we have three auditors with birthdays, Susie Ryan, Carrie Garvey, and Danny Russell. Happy birthday to all of you. We appreciate you being here.
I cannot tell you, I had one of those adrenaline dumps yesterday, like where all of a sudden you have so much adrenaline built up in your system. I mean, I just had days of adrenaline between the horse show and then the horse having issues on Monday and then what happened yesterday, that I was so sick last night. And you don't know about this, but I mean, you kind of know about it. So I and my neighbors and my community have been in a fight with the Oklahoma Turnpike Association, the OTA, and we have been threatened with a turnpike to go potentially directly through my farm. Like, I mean, destroy my house, destroy my barn, all of it. And yesterday was the day that they announced the new proposed route. It's been moved a couple times, and I am 100% by no means completely comfortable with any of this, considering they've moved it before. But they made an announcement yesterday. They live streamed it. Actually, what's crazy is it was going to be open to the public 2 hours before they announced it. They moved it to northern Oklahoma City, away from Norman, and they held it in a police station. So that is like, and they moved it without telling anybody. So, I mean, the unbelievable amount of shenanigans and ridiculousness and everything that has gone along with this. It's shameful the way that these people are behaving. It's embarrassing. Like, I don't know how they sleep at night. It's awful. But at any rate, they made the announcement yesterday at 2 o'clock. And so Chad and I were like, you know, sitting watching my phone as they hop up there, and they spend 10 minutes telling everybody how important this turnpike is going to be. Yes, we're taking out the eastern side of Norman, which is all farming community and ranches and small farmettes and things like that. And they're like, well, obviously the traffic in Norman, Oklahoma is so bad. It's like, no, it's not. Like, come on, people.
I was there. I didn't walk away from my trip there going,
no, traffic's horrible. God, the traffic in Norman, Oklahoma is crazy. No, it's not. It's why this is all crap. So anyway, we're sitting down and they were announcing where they're going to go. And they announced that they are not taking my farm.
Oh, really?
It's going to be a mile, less than a mile west of us, but it won't be. We won't be turnpike adjacent. Like, it won't be out my window. It'll be west. So, you know, at that point, Chad and I hugged and I just started bawling. And the thing that happens is like, okay, yes, it's not taking my farm, but it's still taking other people's farms. Patty Otto, it's going to be in between her house and mine. And she lives a mile away. So they're pretty much putting it directly in between her house and my house. So we're going to have to like...
So she'll end up being closer to it.
Maybe, possibly. So, I mean, you know, they're going to move around the lines a little bit. Yeah. But I was... I feel like such a absolute jerk for being so relieved, because I'm just devastated. I have another friend, Jennifer, and her family, which they're... Their house is gone. Like, it's just gone. I mean, they're just obliterating everything for something that is completely unnecessary, unwarranted, and unwanted. Like, there's the turnpikes here. Like, they were like, the turnpikes are going to be free when we're done with it. And that's what they've been saying for years and years. And it turns out that they're just keep building it. It won't ever be free. They're like, oh, we need to do improvements on it. We need to do that. It's like complete shenanigans. So we are still involved in a lawsuit. I'm so tired of being on the news, Glenn. Like, I'm so tired of it.
Well, you were supposed to have a demonstration too. Was that tonight?
That's today at 4 o'clock.
Okay.
So yeah. So even though it's not coming through my farm, you know, it was supposed to go 2 miles to the east of us, and those people got rid of it. And then it was going to come to me, but now it's going to move over to the west, and those people to the east of me still fight. So this is not over. I'm not going to sit down and rest. It just needs to be stopped. And you can't really find anybody around that even needs it. Like, our mayor, we elected this mayor for Norman, and he's like this great dude, and he's totally against it. Everybody's completely against it. But the OTA, is Oklahoma Turnpike Authority, is not a government agency. Like, they haven't been elected. You know, they're just like, we're going to do this. Awesome. Here it goes. It just makes no sense. So anyway, I'm passionate about the politics of this, not politics of anything else. And so we are going to take Lucas out of school, and we're going to go to this protest this afternoon.
Did you make great big signs?
Oh, it's coming. It's coming. Actually, it's to the point.
Are you going to be on the news again for a different reason?
I told you. So, you know, like, when you... When you start to think that you've met the man you're going to marry, you start thinking about like, okay, how am I going to pay for this wedding? So I called my dad and I was like, remember when I called you and told you that I was probably going to get married to this guy and that you need to start saving up some money to help me with the wedding? And he was like, yeah. And I was like, well, you're going to need to start a new account and I need you to start saving money. And he was like, why? And I was like, I'm going to need bail money and attorney's fees. Because like, at some point during this, I am going to get arrested. Like, I work for this company. They don't care if I get arrested. It makes a good story. And I train horses. Like, how am I going to lose that job? I'm going to jail at some point, and I'm kind of going to be disappointed if I don't. So,
well,
at
this point,
it's a good cause. I will get arrested.
Says everybody that's ever been arrested.
Yeah. I'm like, I need a mugshot that needs to go public. I got to figure out what to wear.
You need some tattoos on your forehead.
Exactly. No, for real. Like I need to, I sobbed into my husband's shoulders because like, it was just one of those flooded with relief and then immediately flooded with ultimate sadness for the people there. I mean, they're taking 77 homes. Oof. 77 homes down this. And that may not seem like a lot, but when you think these people have been in.
Well, and a lot of those are farms, right? It's not just their home, but it's their farm.
It's like 25,000 acres that they're just sucking up for this. And it will be wider than they say. So it'll be closer. It's just all awful. Well, and like I said, I need a mugshot. I almost feel worse
because we've seen this too. I almost feel worse. I mean, I feel bad for the people's homes are going to be taken, but I almost feel worse for the poor schmuck that's just right over the turnpike line who now his house is on a turnpike and they're not buying him out. And his property value just dropped in half because there's a turnpike in his backyard.
That's what the lawyers that we're working with are also going to do is like, if this does happen, which we're trying to stop, but they need to pay those people as well because they're going to have loss of value in their home.
They bought a rural property that now has a turnpike in the backyard. I mean, ugh.
And these farms and houses have been in these people's world for people have come up to me and apologized. We're like, we're so sorry that this is happening to you because you guys just moved here. I'm like, we've been here 7 years. How long have you been here? Oh, this we're the third generation to own this farm. Like, it is generational, this land and all these homes. So it's crazy. But the fight continues. I'll be on the news again tonight.
All right. Well, your dad will get the call.
If y'all could start a GoFundMe for my future attorney fees, that'd be great.
Well, I'm glad. Now I feel bad saying I'm glad it's not your house, but it's somebody else's. It's
like a positive and it's like a heartbreak and a positive. You know, it's funny just starting to talk about this and the threat of potentially having to move. I want to thank all the listeners out there who have sent me land and farms for sale near them.
In every state in the country.
I love all of you so much. That is so sweet. I've shown every single farm to Chad. I'm like, we can live in Virginia.
How about Michigan, Chad?
I was like,
it's nice in the summer.
If there's a Michigan covered arena or indoor arena, like I could do that. Like, yeah, it's crazy. I just love all of you. I mean, I think it's a no-brainer, but you know what? I'm really glad. The whole thing is like, I didn't want to do this again. I put gates everywhere.
You built that place from scratch. I mean, it's a little different when you've done it yourself.
Yeah. And I'm like, I am too old to start this over again. I was like, we started looking into equestrian communities. I was like, I'll live in an equestrian community and teach lessons. I don't know. Like what? I mean, the amount of thought and angst and planning that and uncertainty that goes into this, and it's been going on for years and years. And like I said, the culmination was them announcing the location yesterday,
which is not final. I mean, it's not final. It'll change too.
You know what? If it's up to me, this ain't happening.
Let's hope that's the change.
I've been doing some. I can't talk about some of the things I've been doing. Okay, but
all right, we'll move on from that. Then
we'll move on. I'm going to jail. Write it down.
Before we get to our first guest, there was this post on the Plaid Horse Facebook page. And this is one that bothers me. And I was surprised that the comments were 50-50. This post said, I recently started riding at a new barn in the South. I don't think it matters where. And during my lesson, people will come up to the ring and watch me ride and talk to my trainer. This happens every time I have a lesson. What are your thoughts on this? Do you think it's acceptable or inappropriate and rude? Okay, this is my thought on this. And I've seen this happen so many times, so especially when Jennifer was actively training and we go to other barns and things. And I don't mind. You know, there's people at the barn that maybe want to watch you take your lesson. I get that. And they'll come up and they'll stand at the rail and watch your lesson. I don't have a problem with that. What I do have a problem with is when they come up and talk to the your trainer the entire lesson. I have a problem with that. And I've seen that so many times where the person giving the lesson sitting on the fence, there's three of their friends there, and they're talking to their friends and giving a lesson. They're not giving their full attention to the lesson. And that's what I have a problem with. I'm paying you to pay attention to me. And I'm not talking group lessons here. I'm talking private lessons. And so I don't have a problem with that, with people watching. I do have a problem with people talking to the trainer the entire time. Am I wrong? Do you feel...
Oh my God. I grew up and I had one trainer who it was like a group lesson of three or four of us. And I always think about this when I think of trainers. One trainer brought a cooler of beer and he would drink the cooler of beer while he was teaching a bunch of teenage girls. And I never really thought anything of it.
There's classy Georgia for you.
Yeah. I never thought anything of it. And now that I'm older, I'm like, that's wholesale inappropriate. I had a trainer in Kentucky who talked on her cell phone the whole time.
That would piss me off too.
Just set the jumps. I had a trainer who would ride during the lessons, but school her horse, barely pay attention to me. I had a trainer in Atlanta that a dressage barn that I went to, and they didn't have private lessons. So you were in a group lesson once a day, and I just wanted to go close by and learn more. And these. I was riding, I'm in my 30s at this point, and I'm riding with teenagers who are sitting on the rail on their cell phone, and I'm like, get out of the way. They're like, okay, everybody shouldering down the long side. And they would just be sitting there on the phone. I'm like, get out of the way. I'm paying so much money for this. But they didn't really care because they weren't paying it. But I was old enough to be, I'm footing my own bill, y'all. I ain't got daddy paying for this. So there are many ways that trainers have been very frustrating. Whenever I teach lessons, I just try to think about and this is the whole kind of thing in life is, how would I want me to behave if I were them? I would want a trainer who's attentive and participates and engages with people. And so in Arizona, I always had a training horse and I would do these group jumping lessons and we would just all take turns okay, my turn, your turn, you go, And so we kind of made it fun like that. And I think that's important too, is just become engaged with the person that you're teaching. And on the flip side, demand a trainer that is engaged in you. Lessons are too expensive now.
Yeah, you're paying hundreds sometimes, right? So
yeah,
I don't know. I would feel this way if I was hiring a consultant and they were talking to somebody else in my hour that I'm paying for, right? You're paying for that. And you know what I was shocked at? I was actually shocked at about 50% of the comments saying, "Oh, this is fine. That my trainer does it all the time." I just don't.
What?
50% of the comments were, this is fine. It happens all the time. And I was like, I don't have a problem with people watching along the rail. Okay. Because a lot of times it's your friends or the people at the barn and they're trying to learn something from your lesson. I get that.
Yeah, no, that's fine. Unless they're
But walking into the arena to stand with the trainer? No.
No.
I'm sorry. No. And trainer on the phone? No. First of all, you wouldn't do that when you were working with one of your new horses, right? When you had Farm Boy there, I guarantee you weren't talking on the phone when you were in a ring and Farm Boy and you were working on a new, brand new horse to the barn, right?
No,
because you're present, right? You're present. And that's, I think that's the word I'm looking for, is then I don't think the trainer is truly present.
Yeah.
And I want the trainer to be present for me because that's what I'm paying them for. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm just old school. I don't know.
I'm shocked that half of the people
it was half.
NBD.
Now, a lot of them did say, you need to talk to your trainer about this and let them know. And this person made it in the comments did say they were afraid to do that because they're afraid because trainers are so hard to find and they want to rock the boat and they want to make anybody mad. And you know, that's another problem we have in this industry. But I think you should. I think you should tell the trainer. You're paying the bill.
It goes back to my mantra of never. I'm just not going to beg somebody to take my money. You know, like when you call about a horse and they're cagey and they're not really getting back with you. Or like you have a trainer who just really, you're having to beg them to take your money. You know, No, I don't work like that. No.
Yeah, I don't either, and I don't care what it is, you know, what kind of lesson you're taking or what your service you're paying for.
What's the online you can listen to the riding lessons while you're riding?
Yes. The little Equa. Ear things. Yeah, I can't remember the name.
Oh, we've had them on. They're awesome.
Well, anyway, how do you guys feel about that? Let us know. Or did you have a trainer that did this and did you do something about it? I'd be interested to hear that. Well, we're going to head to our first guest and our first guest today.
Ride IQ.
That's what it is. All right, let's head off to our first guest. Well, our first guest today is Chloe Capaldi, and she is here to talk about the Appalachian Trainer Face-Off, which, Jamie, if you'll remember, we probably covered 3 years ago. It's been a while.
Yeah.
But one of our listeners named Christy, I think she's an auditor too, recommended Chloe come on. She's participated in this competition before, and she will be again. Hi, Chloe.
Hi there.
So do you live in the Appalachians? Where do you live?
I do not. I actually live in northern Michigan.
Oh, wow. Okay. So that's a long way from Appalachia.
It is.
So that answers one question. They obviously take trainers from outside of the Appalachian states then.
Absolutely. They take trainers from all over the country.
Very good. And this is done by the Phoenix Equine Rescue, who we have talked about. We've had them on before as well. Can you tell us a little bit about that organization?
Yeah. So the Heart of Phoenix is based in West Virginia. And they take on horses. They're a horse rescue. So they have, you know, various horses, whether it's abuse or neglect or just cases where the owner can no longer take care of them. So they function like a normal rescue in that way. And then they also work with a lot of these feral horses that are on the old strip mine lands around there. And it's a population of horses that are just an amalgamation of domestic breeds that end up having these herds out there that are creating all these bands of feral horses. So they work with those as well. And those horses also come through the competition.
I've never heard about those horses. It's funny. Christy used the term Appalachian Brumbies. Is that what she's talking about?
Yeah. So that's the term that they've kind of coined for them since they're not Mustangs. Although when you say feral horses, that's typically what people think of. But they're just horses that have been over time either released or escaped and created their own breeding population. So their breeds are all over the place.
Okay, hold on. The fact that it's called a Brumby makes me have to have one. I need one.
Yeah, Australia's a little far to ship one, but you can get one here.
Well, I sort of was a competition failure. I ended up adopting my own first dog. I technically own one now.
And that's interesting about this competition too, because the horses are all put up. Is it auction after? Is that how they do it?
Yeah, that's the idea. So it functions essentially like a Mustang makeover where you go and you pick up your horse. You do have a little bit of a choice. It's a lottery of how you pick your horse. And then you go back, you have 100 days to train. And then when the 100 days is over, you head back to West Virginia with your horse. And there's a 3-day showcase competition. And then at the end of those 3 days, the horses go into an auction. And the idea is that it's, you know, finding the horse with new homes, but also being able to raise money for the rescue.
That's a great idea, though. It's something thinking outside because all the rescues right now, especially, are they need funds. So this is it's a good idea on their part. And you failed. Tell about your failure. You're a foster failure.
I ended up with a horse that was one of the Appalachian Brumbies. he had been at the rescue for a couple of years. So I wasn't starting from scratch. He, you know, was able to be handled. So he had some basics, but he was a tough case for me because I had never really worked with a horse that had such a strong flight instinct. So he was really a challenge. And the more I got to know him, you know, he was just ticking all kinds of boxes for me, and I couldn't let him go. So I ended up bidding him on him in the auction event at the end, and
so
I got
when
him.
I have a question about this. So when the auction is happening, are you out like kind of holding him in front of everybody? And then like, as the bidding starts, you're having to raise your hand and like, then people are bidding against a trainer.
Well, yeah. So they actually have somebody do that for you. So since the trainer, it puts people kind of in a weird spot. If they know the trainer is bidding for their horse, they just have a proxy for you bidding, and the proxy just knows how high you would want to go. And they do it that way.
Well, okay, then that's not fair, because I mean, they're still going to bid against the trainer, even though that doesn't seem fair.
Well, that's the way they do the Mustang makeovers too, isn't it? This similar way, I think.
I have no idea.
I think I haven't been a part of one of those. Way. You have to buy your own horse back, basically. Yeah.
Then what happens is that the proxy's bidding, and then they would look at me while I'm like on the horse, and I'd be like, just keep going.
Yeah, Jamie would not be good at this. She'd be looking nervous.
Oh, no.
You're not cut out for that, Jamie.
No.
So you're going to participate. They just had this year's, and they do them every August. And as I understand it, you're going to participate next year, but in a little different way. You're basically doing a favor for the Heart of Phoenix, right?
Sort of. And in a way, maybe they're doing a favor for me. So I, this year, wanted to participate, but I was not able to do the 100-day time frame. But it's still, you know, beneficial for everybody to have a horse in training. So they have what's called a 365 category, which means that some horses that, you know, may not be in the 100-day time frame either can go to trainers, and the trainers can work with them for the entire year. Hmm. And when the horse is ready, they could either be adopted out, you know, straight from there. They don't necessarily have to go to the competition in August. Again, the goal just being that they find a good home. So if that happens, that's great too. But if not, then I would take him to the competition in August 2026 and go through the process that way.
And you have a Tennessee walking horse this time?
Well, they're not quite sure what he is. He is
my favorite kind.
Yeah, he's something gated. I'm going with Tennessee Walker Standard Bred because he's got a beautiful rack, but we're still figuring out that middle gate right now. But he's been a dream to work with.
I got to tell you, my wife is, after years and years of eventing and doing thoroughbreds, she wanted a trail horse now that we're both getting older. And she got her first gated horse. And it's been a learning curve for her. Have you had gated before?
Yeah, so that's kind of my little niche. I work with a lot of gated horses. So I'm a trail trainer particularly. And gated horses are my thing. So when I go to the Appalachian Trainer Face-Off, I kind of try to look for something gated because that's where I'm most comfortable.
Well, if you're visiting Florida this winter, could you stop by? I think she'd love to have you help out.
Absolutely. I love doing that.
She's figuring out the gated thing right now. And we're not even sure what it's a Kentucky Mountain Saddle Horse. Which, they kind of make up all these breeds.
Yeah.
And we're not even quite sure what gate it is. So,
like an Appalachian Brumby, perhaps,
yeah.
Glenn?
Yeah, probably.
You know, it depends on who you ask. That's the beauty of the gated world.
Oh, you mean two people would say that's a something and the other person would say that's a something else?
Yep.
Okay. Good to know that's definitive. So, Jennifer, you can call it whatever you want. You're fine. Well, this is a fascinating competition. And it gets hundreds of horses. It's not small now either, is it?
I mean, the rescue does have hundreds of horses that come through their program every year. But I think the actual competition rounds out to about 30 to 40 horses that go through it.
But I know that they deal with a lot of horses all the time, and I'm glad they do. You know, it's good that they're there, and especially in that area. I didn't know about the wild horses there either, so that's interesting. Well, Chloe, thank you so much for joining us. We really appreciate it. Do you have a business up there? Do you train horses or what do you do?
I do. Yeah. My side hustle is training horses, but I have a Facebook page called CK Horse Training and Consulting. And if people are interested in looking me up on there, they can.
So in other words, my wife could send you a video and you would consult with her.
And... sure. Absolutely.
I think she'd love that right now. Sounds good. Thank you, Chloe, for joining us. We really appreciate it.
All right. Thank you so much.
Non-GMO whole food nutrition is the basis of the entire Daily Dose Equine program. We never forget that natural is better and simplicity is key. Daily Dose Equine uses non-GMO whole food ingredients like alfalfa, timothy, peas, sunflower seeds, and flax. Daily Dose Equine doesn't use fillers, bulking agents, or leftovers from other industries, so you can feed less yet improve body condition and energy. And our feeds are free from chemical residues and glyphosate. Find the perfect formulation for your horse at dailydoseequine.com. Select Daily Dose Equine formulations are available nationwide through Chewy.com and TractorSupply.com.
It's time for Breeds of the Alphabet. From Arabians to zebras, we take you on an adventure, highlighting a breed for every letter of the alphabet. Can we do it? Stay tuned in 2025 and find out.
Yes, it's time for our breeds of the alphabet, the letter N today, and we're going to talk about the Nakota horse. And we have Shauna Lichtenwalner. She is with the Nakota Horse Conservancy joining us. Hi, Shauna.
Hi. Hi, Jane.
Thank you so much for joining us. We really appreciate it. I do not know much about the Nakota horse at all, so this is going to be a journey for everybody all together. So tell us about, I guess, like, what is the Nakota horse and how are they existing?
Ah, that's a good question. The Nakota horse is an extremely rare breed. We're an endangered breed. My estimate is that we have less than 700 left worldwide. They originate from, They originate from the stock that was used in the Dakota territories in the mid-18th century. And specifically, the research is suggesting that they are a sort of hybridized breed that was influenced early by the Spanish horses coming up from the south and the Canadian horses coming down from the north. We do know that part of their ties are to the horses that were part of Sitting Bull's band when Sitting Bull and his people surrendered at Fort Buford. Their horses were taken away from them and sold. And we can trace some of those Sioux horses to the Marquis de Moray, who was this flamboyant rich nobleman who was ranching outside of Medora. Actually, Medora was named for his wife in North Dakota. And he took 250 mares to breed. And then a couple of years later, he got sick of the winters and sold off what he had to the biggest outfitter breeder in the region, who took 60 of those mares and bred them to thoroughbreds and to other things and called them the American horse. But that was only.
The American horse. I've never heard of the American horse.
There we go. Yeah. So I'm giving you the long version, which is bad.
No, it's great. Anyway, it's great.
They ultimately, because it was open range at the time, early 19th century, when the Theodore Roosevelt National Park got created, the horses got fenced in and became a closed herd. So there wasn't a lot of outside genetic
Now, are you talking about the 60 that he took, or like, because you started talking about he took initially 250 and then got tired of the winter, yeah. And then somebody took 60.
He sold 60. He sold 60 to Heidi Cooper. Sorry, I should.
No. I'm just trying to follow because it seems like a lot of mares that ended up without a home, or are those the ones that were fenced in?
I'm sure they were sold off. Okay. The fencing in comes about 50 years later. I'm sure they were sold off, but we do know that those 60 went specifically to a breeder who capitalized on their traits that were hardiness and intelligence. And some of those mares were literally carrying bullet wounds from Little Bighorn. So there's a story woven into those horses just inherently. And so, yeah, those 60 mares kind of became this bedrock foundation for something that was a bit different. And then they just got fenced into the park and not exactly forgotten about because the park didn't want them there. And
sounds like a familiar tale.
Yeah.
So
the park was trying to figure out how to eliminate them, and their plans to just literally eliminate them weren't publicly very popular. And so then what they decided was that they would sell off and or get rid of as much of the old dominant stallions as they could. And then they'd put domestic horses into the park, domestic stallions in instead. So they started auctioning off these horses in the 80s. And Frank and Leo Kuntz, these two brothers of a large family of horsemen, recognized that they were special horses and bought up as many as they could. And that's where the Nakota breed as its own distinct entity really comes to life. Leo was the one to name them Nakota. He took the words North and Dakota together and fused them to make Nakota.
And it was that the 1880s or the 1980s?
That was the 1980s.
Okay.
Sorry, I am so sorry.
So it's a fairly new breed then, as breeds go.
As breeds go, yeah, it is. In the sense of being, yes, we have a name, we have like this cohesive thing that is the Nakota. Yeah, they are a new breed, even though their roots are quite old.
Right.
You started with what is the Nakota horse, and I gave you the history instead of what the horse is. The horses are generally somewhere between 14 to 15-2 hands. They are stout. Really physically, they've got really slopey croups. They tend to run to pretty cool colors. So blue roan is a dominant color in our herd, and bay roans as well. A few strawberry roans, but mostly blue roans, bay roans, strawberry roans. And then you get some blacks and some grays and we have
all the popular colors. Jeez.
And then like we have some Overos, and we have had, I don't think we have any in the herd right now, but even we've had Dun Overos. We had a very influential stallion who was a Dun Overo with like all sorts of tiger striping on his legs. He was cool looking. Wow. One of his grandsons now is a blue roan Overo, which also doesn't show up very much. So yeah, they come in some pretty cool colors, and they've got these incredible brains. They are the best horses at processing and problem solving that I've ever met. They will get you out of a bind, and they will do it without ever getting flustered. They will just figure out how to get out of the situation, and they'll calmly go about doing that. And I've seen that in all sorts of situations. I've seen several Nakotas get themselves cast with their legs under a fence, even once with their legs under a steel girder. And before you can even get to the moment where you're in full panic, they will have gotten themselves back out again.
Right. That's pretty quick.
Jamie, you and I need Dakota horses because it seems like we get the ones that can't figure it out. So maybe we need
these horses. Can I tell a quick story?
Sure.
Yeah.
So one of the first Dakotas I brought east and trained, I was getting him ready for this show. and it was going to be his first under saddle show. And I was practicing the bridge for the trail class, and it had some low rails on it. And I don't know why, but we got up on the bridge and he moved about a little bit and put one front leg over the rail of the bridge. I went, uh-oh. And then he put the other front leg over the bridge. So now we have a rail underneath his belly. I'm sitting on his back. I don't think I can get off because there's a rail underneath me and there's no one around. And I thought, I'm not showing tomorrow. I'm going to the hospital. This is the only scenario I could think of was that sooner or later, this horse was going to figure out that we were in trouble and he was going to panic and that was going to be it. And I knew I was coming off and I knew it was going to hurt. He stood there for a couple seconds or minutes or days. I'm not sure. And then he quietly side passed off the bridge.
Oh my gosh. This was not
a horse I had taught side passing to. This was a horse who just looked at the situation and said, okay, I'm just going to side pass off this bridge.
I'm in trouble and I got
to
figure a way out
of this. To be fair, he's
the
one that got himself in trouble, though. Let's.
Yeah, he did, but he figured out exactly, like, when he put that second leg over, I'm like, buddy, what you doing? But he was right.
I'm going to jump off.
And I was just like, okay.
That's cool. That's cool. We need horses really that fun. Get themselves out of trouble, you know.
Oh, we do.
So the Nakotas, you said there's 700 worldwide. Does that mean that there's more outside of the U.S.?
There are. And I should have asked the numbers, but I think we are in excess now of 100 in Europe. We have several breeders in France. We have a breeder in Denmark. We have a couple breeders up in Sweden. So the European contingent is actually thriving and growing in some really beautiful ways right now. And I'm so excited that there is like a real foothold in Europe for these horses. And they seem to be growing in popularity over there.
So what do people use them for?
Pretty much everything. I'm a dressage rider. We have people doing eventing, fox hunting. There have been people who have used them for reining. There have been people who have used them for endurance riding. They make great therapy horses. They make great kids' horses because they're so darn safe. So they have found their place in a wide variety of disciplines, which is really nice.
That's awesome. They sound like really nice. I'm just Googling the images right now and they just look like big, tough, solid horses. So what is the vision that you guys see for the Nakota horse breed in the future?
The vision that I see is expanding private ownership and expanding private breeders, because the breed will survive if people get to know them, because getting to know them is getting to love them. Mm-hmm. And kind of once you're hooked, you're hooked. And
yeah.
And so I think it's tremendously important that we get more Nakotas in the world, and that as we do that and as people go out and do things with their Nakotas and figure out how much fun they are and how safe they are, then they're going to want more, and their neighbors are going to want them, and the people that they interact with at shows are going to want them. And that
so Nakota horses to take over the world.
That is my vision. I want Nakota horses to take over the world. Right there.
Love it.
That's it.
Love it. Shauna, people can go to nakotahorse.org to learn more. Best of luck to you and all your babies and the Nakota horses taking over the world.
Thank you.
Horse and Rider On Demand allows you to train smarter, not harder. Our training video collection featuring some of the industry's top Western professionals like Bud Lyon, Cody Crow, Ryan Rushing, and more can help you perfect your horsemanship and improve your performance in the arena. Get access to hundreds of videos and learn more about events like ranch horse versatility, reining, working cow horse, ranch riding, and more for just $14.99 a month. Watch anywhere, anytime. Horse and Rider On Demand can be streamed from any smart device. Visit ondemand.horseandrider.com to start your 7-day free trial. That's ondemand.horseandrider.com.
Time to learn why some days you're embarrassed to be part of the human race in Jamie's Weird News.
That's right. It's a time when listeners from all over the world send me news stories that are happening in their neck of woods or just random ones that they see. So if you're ever looking through the news and reading an article and you're like, dude, this is so weird, email it to weirdnews@horseradionetwork.com. Just like Laureen, Julia, Janelle, Lindsay, Rosemary, Shelley, Alicia, Susan, and Aaron all did. Now, I've got to make a couple announcements here. Number one. A lot of you send me weird news that I did the week before and you don't hear it. It's because I did it last week. So make sure if you hear, you've sent me something really good. You're like, why didn't she do that? Don't get mad at me. I probably already did it. So you go back and listen. Okay. You have to listen to these things. Number two, enough with sending me the news story about the koalas with chlamydia. I'm not going to go.
There's a poem you're in all, there somewhere.
You have been heard. I have seen you. I don't need to do a story about the amazing chlamydia rates of the koala breed.
That's all. That's their revenge for having to listen to your story from Monday. By the way, is that horse okay? Is that horse all
yes,
right?
Yes, he's right. Totally fine. Okay. For not for one second did he ever have another issue. Not even a swelling. Nothing. Okay. Nothing. All totally right,
good.
Fine.
Good.
They just like to give me heart attacks. Okay, so let's start with you guys. I don't know if do you use Chewy, Glenn?
Yeah, we do actually. Yep.
Okay. This company is awesome. So I actually heard that if, you know, you get the monthly Chewy box and then your dog passes away and then you get another one because you, of course, forgot to cancel it. If you cancel it, they send you flowers and everything. Like it's just a really cool company. And so I'm really a fan of this story because we're going to go to New York. There was a family that got their Chewy box, which contained $93 worth of pet food. But I think in this case, they were returning it.
That's a 10-pound bag of dog food nowadays.
I mean, yeah, you get the bougie stuff, you know. But $93 worth of pet food, so they're going to return it. And so they have this box on their patio. And I guess they came out the next morning and the box was open. The bag of Chewy food was obliterated all over the place. It was absolute chaos on their patio. And they're like, oh my God, somebody like
bears
went to steal everything. And they realized it was dog food once they opened it up, you know. And so it was supposed to be returned. So they went and consulted their cameras. They had the Ring doorbell cameras. Raccoons popped right up. Open the like container. Raccoons are so ingenious. They just like nothing
They're
stops a raccoon.
Too.
Yeah. So they open it up and they saw them pull the dog food bag out and obliterate it. And there's food everywhere. They ate their fill and then they left. Now, since then, the raccoon has been coming back every night.
Yeah, looking for dinner.
It's like, where's my food? Well, here's the cool thing about Chewy is they called Chewy and they were like, we were returning this bag, but the raccoons came on our porch, opened the lockbox, ate all the food and obliterated it. And they, I guess they sent Chewy pictures or something. And Chewy was like, we totally get it. We totally get it. It happens all the time and gave them a full refund.
Their customer service is incredible.
That's so cool. Their yeah, we get Chewy service. Delivers all the time. My new boarder, there's a Chewy box every day. I'm like, what now? I can't give your horse more supplements.
Hey, I did this while you were doing that. I put into Gemini that I would like them to write a poem about koalas and with chlamydia.
And oh, no.
Gemini came back with, this request is a bit unusual. I cannot create a poem that directly links a real medical condition like chlamydia with a fictional species like koalas, as it could be misconstrued or offensive. I didn't know they were fictional.
I didn't know that they were fictional either. And you would think that Gemini would be able to source all the 9 billion stories on the internet about koalas with chlamydia.
Chlamydia, yep. Apparently koalas are not real animals. So
you're
spreading false information, Jenny.
Sorry. Well, let me try to keep it real. Okay. Now, y'all remember, I am heading to Hershey, Pennsylvania this weekend to take
my son. Is it this weekend?
Oh, yeah. Yes. Oh, we leave on Friday and we're going to Hershey, Pennsylvania. And we are trying to figure out what to do. So if we have to go super early, we're going to take the Hershey tour on Friday. And I'm super excited to go sample all the chocolate. Well, if you live in New Jersey, you don't have to travel to Hershey. You can just sample chocolate on the road. That is because a tractor trailer heading westbound on Interstate 80 rear-ended another tractor trailer that was over on the shoulder. Kaboom! The tractor trailer and all of its contents spilled out on the roadway. Now, we have had some really gross things spill out on the road, like fish, and we had squid, and we have had beer, and we have had everything. This time, M&M's for everybody!
Okay, that's one I probably have to stop for.
Yeah, right? I know. And not all of the bags opened up, so there were like complete like boxes of M&Ms. I might just have to pull over and nick one of those. Like I said, I'm going to jail for something, okay? So a portion of the road was shut down for 2 hours while the spilled candy was cleared from the scene.
Do you know, I got to bring something up here. This goes to Florida, right here in Ocala. For last night, for the third time in 2 years, we have had a dump truck that's driving down Route 75, our major highway, right?
I-75. I mean, it's huge.
And hit a bridge. This is the third time we've had dump truck drivers with their load, with their bucket fully up, took out a bridge. The road is closed indefinitely because it did so much damage to the bridge last night that southbound on Route 75 is now being detoured through Ocala. It's going to be a freaking nightmare.
Gosh.
This is the third. How does a dump truck driver not know that their bucket is up? How do they not know that? They look in the rearview mirror.
They jumped. They like lifted the whole thing to dump
and then
just
drove down the highway. You would not think the wind would be catching it so bad that you would it'd be buffeting the truck.
Why is it so slow? I can't get up to speed. I don't know. Think about it.
After the second time it took out a bridge, they said, we really need to get legislation to have a warning alarm for dump truck drivers. And I'm like, how about we just get some non-dumbass dump truck drivers?
Exactly.
How about we have them take a test? Oh, my God. This is the third time. And it's closed. They said it could be weeks.
Oh, my gosh. Enjoy the traffic around Ocala. Okay, Glenn, we're going to go to Greenville, North Carolina. And at 3 a.m., two guys, one from Belgium and one from Romania, climb into a jewelry store. And they're doing like the Ocean's 11 jewelry store heist, right? So they like get their way into this jewelry
Are they hanging
store.
From and the ceiling on a rope. Like in the
movie. It doesn't say, but I imagine that's exactly what they did. And I'll tell you why. So they go through and they get all this jewelry and they fill their bags. And well, I mean, like there's motion detectors. So, I mean, the police were called and the police were dispatched and they all flood the jewelry store and they go in with their guns drawn and they're like, police. We know you're in here. Come on out. And they can see the mess in the jewelry store, like the broken glass and all the stuff everywhere. They can't find the guys. They're from Belgium and Romania. And I would imagine that they're some sort of gymnast or something because they ended up disappearing. And officers are like, where did they go? And they heard a thump from the roof, from the ceiling. And they're like, hey, come on out with your hands up. We know you're up there. And boosh, crash. The guys fell through the roof to the foot of the police officers with all the jewelry busting out, spreading all around. So they were arrested and are in jail.
Do you know who's, in jail? I just saw a report on this morning. Remember the scuba guy who robbed the restaurant at Disney?
Yeah, we did last week. He swam underwater and got
found
up.
Him. He's still.
What?
They haven't found the scuba dude. Apparently, he got away.
He got it. I mean, he robbed those people at like gunpoint.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, there were witnesses.
That's still crazy. And you know that he's going to do it again. You just know he's going to do it again.
Oh, yeah. That's the scuba heist. Okay, we're going to go to this one, and I got a lot of emails about this one, and most of them were like, how come we didn't have this one last week? What was last week's theme, Glenn?
Oh, I don't remember now.
It was poop week, ding dong.
Oh, that's right. I was like, we didn't do weird. Didn't we do weird news last week?
We did do weird news, and we didn't have this one, and this is in Florence, South Carolina, because a teaching assistant has been arrested following a series of disturbances at a high school. Alexander Lewis, 32 years old, faces charging of disturbing schools and malicious injury to property. So the kids are in school, and like a couple kids have asthma, and they would, there's a smell that would go through the school. And one son had his, one kid had his asthma triggered, and the mom had to take him to the hospital three separate times because he was having such bad asthma. And they were like, what is going on here? Why does it smell so bad in here? Well, Alexandra Lewis was, they went through his Amazon history, and he had been ordering, it's basically like poop spray. It's a spray designed to mimic the smell of feces. And he had been deploying it throughout the school. They don't know why. They don't know why somebody would do this. He was a teaching assistant.
Oh, geez.
And the only way they caught him is they found out that he was the one buying this poop spray and was deploying this spray throughout the school. The odor reportedly triggered health issues among students and staff, headaches, nausea, dizziness, asthma attacks, all of this. Do you know how much it's cost them to do the inspection and clean the air conditioning? I mean, this was like so bad. The school paid $55,000 in damages for this ding dong getting poop spray off of the internet and deploying it in the school. He has appeared in court. His bond was set at over like $10,000. And it's basically he's getting a malicious injury to personal property charge and is going to.
Do you know a job he's never going to have again?
I would imagine he's not going to be a teaching assistant again.
Never
again. Hey, guys. you need, if you're going to buy things that are stupid, if you're going to do stupid things, you're going to win stupid prizes. But if you buy stupid things on the internet, remember, there's a record of it, okay? They can catch you.
Did he not get past the age of five that think that was funny or fun?
I mean, the thing is, he hasn't gone to court yet, so they haven't said why he did it, but it just makes absolutely no sense. But did he think it was funny? Like, I don't know
either. Do you have another one?
That is it for the weird news. You told me I'm only allowed to have four.
That's right. Well, there you go. Well, thank you for sending your weird news in. You did have some weird news today. You can send it to weirdnews@horseradionetwork.com, and then Jamie gets it, and she will include it for you.
Auditors, what did we learn today? We learned today that if you leave food on your porch, a raccoon's going to take it. We learned that there's free M&Ms on New Jersey Highway. We learned if you're going to rob somebody, don't hide in a ceiling that will not support human body weight. And also, watch out what you buy on the internet.
And
we all should
have Nakota horses that apparently are smarter than the horses we own. So I think that's the other thing I learned.
It's the first horse we've ever talked about that doesn't actually want to die.
Yeah, exactly. Everybody should own them. All right. So this meme was posted in the Auditor page. I thought we'd end today's show. And auditors, hang on. We'll do a short post show for you today. And keep in mind that tomorrow, we will be dark tomorrow. We don't have an episode for you tomorrow on Thursday. And Friday, Jamie and I will be back with some really bad ads. Get them into Jennifer@horseradionetwork.com. So this meme was posted on the Auditor Room. What we remember when horses get expensive. If we didn't have the horses, we would definitely go insane. If we go insane, we will not tolerate annoying people and we will get arrested. Jamie's mm-hmm. almost there, actually. Mm-hmm. Bail is more expensive than horses. And if we can't pay the bail, then we go to jail. and there are no horses in jail. So keep that in mind, Jamie. There's no horses in jail. When I put that one in here, I didn't know we were going to be talking about you going to jail. So.
Well, it's funny. I was such a mess yesterday, Glenn. I actually took Miles. I put the Western saddle on him. I galloped him in the field and I took him in the pond. And so I posted videos there and I posted videos on my Flyover Farm Facebook page also of grooming Butters with hands-on gloves. Oh, dear God. He's a fan. So if you want to see Butters getting very happy about getting groomed, you can go see those on the Flyover Farm page.
Thanks, everybody. Spay, neuter, and geld.